So our workshop again is how to stay clean dealing with loss, and our first speaker today is Pam, so please help me welcome Pam.
Loveliness. I am like in my glory. Hi, my name is Pam, I'm an addict. And as most of you know, I'm usually behind the scenes, I'm not the one that's at the podium. And I was honored that they asked me to speak. You know, and then at first I heard grief, and of course I have a lot of grief. But then when I really sat down and I looked and it said dealing with loss, it really opened up like a wide screen for me. I've been telling my girlfriends, because I don't usually go through my head. Like, it's real easy for me. I just share my experience and I get it out. But this is a topic. And I wanted to kind of break it down a little bit. And I figured, like, I've been thinking about it, and I want to put it kind of in three stages for me. And the first part of it was a loss of my son. And it was before I got here. And I wasn't even clean. It was kind of what slung me into the last part of my depression. What am I really using in depression till? But after he passed away, I kind of, for 4 years, I ran from it, and I used like crazy. Like, all this news, the story of how we use. I used up everything I got. And somebody told me at one time that if you don't deal with grief, grief will deal with you. And so 4 years later, when I came in these rooms, it was kind of a grief that I had to accept. But like, it was 4 years ago. So some people don't understand. They're like, because a lot of people in life, they think that you should just get over something. They don't understand that you don't ever get over grief. Like, to this day, it's been 20 years for my son. To this day, there are days I want to crawl in the bed, go in a ball, and cry. I miss him very much. And so I had to come in here, and I had to deal with his grief, and I had to get honest and do the step work, get a sponsor. And I came in here, when I came in here, my mom was sick, and I don't know how you came in here, but when I came in here, I was 50 years old. I didn't have time to fool around with recovery. I had to get it, because this was my shot to change my life, and I knew it in my heart. I wasn't one of those that didn't know, wasn't sure, was going to go back out. I just knew I couldn't do what I was doing anymore, and I had to take this last shot, and I took it with faith, and I started walking forward. And so I had many, many people that helped me with my grief with Jerry. And like I said, you can hear it, I'm still not over it. Like, I still think, what if, you know, what would he be? What kind of man would he be? Would I still be supporting him, the little son of a bitch? Like, we'd still be sleeping in my bedroom, not doing anything, you know? And I would take that. Because for me, the grief of him, the only way I can describe it for me, this is how I deal with it, is on May the 8th, my life was fantastic, and I didn't know it. It was perfect. I had a vase that was worth, priceless vase, and that was my life. And on May 9th, that vase broke. And for 4 years, I let it lay and shattered pieces around my feet until I came into NA and I started working on myself. And I started picking the pieces of that vase up, and I started putting it back together. And when I was done, I still have this beautiful, beautiful vase. But it's never going to be that priceless vase that I had. So that's how I dealt with him. And like I said, many people in here taught me, and I tell a lot of people that get through here, that if you run from grief, or eventually it's going to catch up and you're going to have to face it. You're going to have to deal with it. And so now my son's death is like a bruise in my heart that sometimes gets infected. And I've got to take it, the wound off, and I've just got to feel it. That doesn't mean I got to use, because I never have to use again. And I walked in here with that faith. So I, the first part of this story for me for loss is death. It has a lot to do with death for me. I came in here and I had about 4 years clean, and I was doing everything that we should do. And I was watching my mom. My mom was like 80 years old when I got here. She was very sick. And me being the good addict and the newcomer, because of course we think we're great, I started taking care of her. And I, for a long time, I felt like people just like built me up, because we do in the room. We bully each other up. And people would tell me, you're so great to take care of your mom, and that's your amends, and don't get that twisted. That is not your amends. Your amends is face-to-face, facing her. That's your amends that you're doing. And because my mom was an old a lady from Kentucky that was born with in a very, very poor relationship and in a very poor situation. And she had no love. So I came in here as a victim. And I thought in my mind that it was poor me. Why don't my mom love me? You know, and when I got in here and I started doing some work, I realized that it was, you can't love somebody when you've never been loved. Like, love was never shown to my mother. You know, like her idea of a love was to buy me a record one time and tell me it came from a lady at her job. Like, she never learned how to express it. So I guess the loss of that love that I had affected me and made me more of a victim than people realize. Because I come in here very much, even at 50, I was, you know, that old bitch hadn't done this and she had showed me that, maybe my life wouldn't have been better. And it wasn't true, because what I did is I started going into the books and I started realizing that my daughter told me, my daughter's a member of this thing, and she told me that if I got into the flat book, that it would teach me to learn with my, to live with myself. It would teach me not to have the guilt that I had, because I didn't have to use for that guilt. That it was okay for me to carry the guilt, like to carry that guilt that I showed my son how to use. It's okay for me to carry it. It's not okay for me to use over it. And so with my mom, I took care of her. I had a sister, Mary, that came from West Virginia, and she started helping with my mother. She was very, very sick herself. So I had two women that were sick. I took care of them, and it probably had 4 years. And on November the 26th for her, I was so used, they were both so sick, that I was so used to going to the hospital with them that a neighbor called and said, your sister's been picked up. So I went in and took a shower, and I packed my book, my NA books, because I did my first 12 steps in hospital rooms. And I, you know, and I packed my little bag, my stacks, and I went over there, and she had had a massive heart attack. And she just, there was my sister there. And this is how I cope with it and with the death. I can remember coming there, and I dropped names too. I want you to know that tradition about Anna Mendy doesn't pertain to me. I dropped names. I can remember by the time I got there, Crystal was there, her daughter was there, and a couple other people from the fellowship. And they just like swooped me up with love, and I hadn't even seen her. And when I went back here and realized that she wasn't going to go, they just, like Stacy, just stayed so close to me. And my mother was there. I'll never forget that. And my mother was never there, so my mother knew that it was the last. And I lost my, that night, I let my sister hang on until her daughters came from West Virginia. I let them put her in ICU and put her on life support. And when they got there, I had the power of attorney. And I signed it away, and all of a sudden I became Mayor Pim to the most evil woman on the face of the earth. I lost that love of my nieces. But I did what my sister wanted me to do, and I'd do it again. So anyway, after I lost her, 2 weeks to the day, I had to take that old woman, and I had to take her to Hillcrest, because she looked at me 2 days earlier and told me, "You don't have to worry about me no more. I'll never lose a child." And I took her to Gilchrist, and I held her hand, and I let her go. And I was the black sheep. Me. I was no good. It was me that got the privilege and the honor to hold her hand while God took her. And I thank God every single day for that. So that's the grief part of my loss. And I don't use over it. And I don't regret it. And I think I've grown from it. Because, like, I didn't money out and I didn't get high. I lost. I had much more, I gained so much more from it than what I lost. So my loss today is, I'm going to switch it around with the loss. There's so many different losses that you can have. I've been here 14 and a half years, and I have a husband. I just can't get it. He just doesn't know. So he uses, he likes pain medication. He'll get it 3 years, and he'll go back to the doctor, and he'll get that medication. He'll get 9 years, and he'll go back to the doctor, and he'll get medication. So the loss that I have right now that I'm dealing with is the loss of trust and the loss of peace and the loss of, I don't know. I've been married for 48 years, and and I can tell you, you want to shake somebody that uses, and you don't understand why they just can't get it. And you can see what the loss does. Like, the loss of respect that I had for him is so great. I just don't know what to deal with it, how to deal with it. So what I did this time with my loss, and well, let me go back. When my sister passed away, I didn't know what to do. And I was young in recovery. Like I said, I had 4 years. And I can remember calling my best friend and saying to her, she's in the fellowship, saying to her, I said, "What do I do? What do I do? You know, my sister's gone. What do I do?" And she says, "I'll be there." She looked me right in the eye. She says, "You pick your ass up and you go to a meeting." And I went to a meeting. And this fellowship surrounded me when my mom and my sister died, like you wouldn't believe. And they showed me so much. But this is what one of our predecessors told to me, and this is kind of what sticks in my mind to this day, and this is how I handle loss of the person. And she told me, "That's my seat, to sit in that seat and to hold on no matter what happens. You don't use, you don't move, you just keep coming back, you keep coming back." And she says that eventually you'll hear the message again. And I can remember for many, many months holding on to that seat, and all I heard was wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. I didn't hear nothing. But eventually, slowly, the message came back. And my heart started to mend. And I still had my seat. And I still have my clean time. And that's what I do to this day. What I did with my husband is it's nasty. Pain medication is nasty. Volumes are. Because it's not the same man that you know. Like, there's funny parts of it. I took the pain medication away because we've gone down this route. And I was going to do the same thing always, though. I took it away and I flushed it, and, you know, I didn't get to the actual pills. And I says, "You're going to go cold turkey." And he looked at me straight in the eye and he says, "Well, it's not the first time you've done that to me." And I was like, I couldn't help it. I got tickled. I was like, oh my God, he's right. It's not the first time that I have cold turkey this man. It's the fourth time that I've cold turkey this man. And just a little comments that he said to me. He told me I'm an A-Nazi. And I says, well, I'm a clean A-Nazi, and you're just a using addict. And I can be really nasty. Like, you know, I'm standing there and I just want to punch him in the face. And I will, because like that's where my anger goes, to anger, my hurt. And so I removed myself. It's something I've never done before. Because my husband, the loss of like, I have other things I lost, but most of all, like I said, the loss of that trust. And it's killing the love. I've been married 48 years. It's killing the love that I have for him, you know? But I also have other things in loss. I've worked hard in the last 14 years. I have a home. I have two dogs that I love dearly that I haven't seen in a week that I really want to see. I won't see him, but I want to see dogs, you know? I have, you know, I have a job. I have all those, also those things that we get, those gift, extra gifts we get. That I don't, you know, I'm 64 years old. Do I look like I want to start again? But I can remember somebody in this fellowship saying on one of the virtual meetings, and this is what helps me, not so much as holding on to the seats, because lately we ain't had seats to hold on to, is she said, I got a run back in me. I know I've got to run, but I don't have another recovery. And you know what? I do have another run. I could go right back out there, and I know that look, because we all know the look. And I could get high, but I don't know if I got another recovery to come in here and pick up the one they keep tagging to do it all over again. So what I do is I stay right here. You know, I call all of my women, all my men, all my friends. You know, I've been offered so many different homes to stay in. So what I did is I left that situation. I removed myself for the week. I went to a hotel for 3 days. And I knew I had all kinds of places I could go to because I was offered. But I pretty much wanted to go and just think. And then for 2 days I did go back to friends because I'm not made of money. And then for another day I went to Eastern Shore with one of my very, very good friends. And I stayed there. And then I came up here. And I shared. And I'm a crier, as you can tell. Even if I share a regular meeting, like my story, there's going to be tears involved in it. I'm not one of those people that's got one of those jokes and can joke over stuff. I don't have time to joke. I don't. I'm 64. I've got to get this. I've got to stay right in the middle, like they told me. I can't fall off these edges. I'm not even going to go near the edges. I'm afraid of heights. You know, I'm not going to lose my clean time. It's something that is in my control, in God's control. And I wanted to say my sponsor, who, being the good addict I am, I didn't really want to talk to. So when I would call her, she would call me back because she'd be busy. I ran with that for this week because I knew that when I did get her, she would settle me down and I would cry and she would make me face my loss of everything. And so she got me. She got me Thursday morning before work, and we talked for a while. And then she says, and then she's the one that says, Pam, you know, it's loss isn't always just grief. It's not death of a person all the time, it's loss. You've lost the trust, you're hurting, you got to heal. And so she says, I've been wanting to mention to you several things about loss. In my early recovery, it was about the loss of drugs. And I didn't even realize it in the stages of grief. Also now, in my later recovery, the loss of my youth. I've talked to others who have been going through this. Just some thoughts I wanted to share with you. I love you, honey. So it's not always the loss of death. You know, don't think of that. We lose a lot. We've lost a lot of people in here. Sometimes it's a loss of a friendship. Like, I've been in here, and I had a friend that I met in early recovery that was so good to me, and I miss her still. But a time came to part, and I missed that loss. I missed the loss of calling her up every single morning. You know what I mean? Like, we talked every morning for years. And when I went there, I lost that. I no longer have anybody that I do that with. But God, if you stay here long enough and you stick around and you don't use, He'll replace that loss with something much greater and much more fulfilling and much more loving. You know? So my network is small, but also large, as Lydia says. You know? My base is very large, very large. Because I don't push anybody out of my life. Now, the person that I was talking about, I've also realized, like, I mourn that loss, but I don't want it in my life anymore. So, I don't go back. I don't use. There's a lot of things I've learned here. And it's funny, I was 50 years old, and to say so many things I've learned here, you know, that I didn't know. Like, I thought when I came here, I thought, I knew it. I got my crap together, you know. I raised a family. I have a car. I have a house. I have all those things. I never had me. And I can stand up here and proudly say, I got me. You know, I'll go through this loss right now because it's only a storm. You know, it's only a storm. And life is like they say, the nurses say, it's like a heartbeat. It goes up and it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. Well, mine right now is down. But that doesn't mean I haven't had a good week. Don't get me wrong, girls. I admit, I have had the most fun. And I'll get through it. This too, as they say, the old-fashioned saying, this too shall pass. And I am an addict, and my name is Pam. And if you didn't get anything out of this, like the old-timers say, go to another meeting.
All right, thank you, Pam. Again, our topic is how to stay clean dealing with loss, and our next speaker is Nikki, so please help me welcome Nikki.
Wow, it was so good to hear you, Pam. And you know, ironically, I'm going to sit for a minute, and then I'll stand, and I'll sit, and I'll stand. When I first saw the topic, I too went right to grief, loss, grief, because I guess that's what I read too. And then when I reread the topic, and it was about staying clean through loss, you know, I thought, okay, let me open the dictionary. That's usually what I do, and look up the word loss, and say, what is loss? And like Pam just described, it can be so many different things. Loss is when something has been taken away from us, or we've lost something, and that feeling of sadness and grief. So, and again, I also thought about loss, and I thought, well, there is different types of loss. There's the extreme loss of death. To me, that is like such a final loss. And then there's loss of friendships, jobs, pets, so many different types of losses. And I've experienced many of them, many different losses, since I've been clean. And when I thought about loss, because I've had a lot of death loss, and I thought, but I've never lost a child. And of course, the speaker, PM, you would get up here, because that's what my disease tells me. Yours isn't bad enough. You've never lost a child. Because to me, that is, I can't even bear to think about it. So when I will go through my life, which some of you know about, and how I have dealt with loss and how I have stayed clean dealing with loss, because that's what you're sitting here wanting to know, and there's no magic trick to it. It's really basically a day at a time. I can't do it alone. I need your help, and only we can do this, right? So I got clean in 1986, came, and I got married in 1988 to someone that I came into the program in that relationship. Wasn't the best relationship, but this isn't a relationship meeting, so we'll deal about the, the death. And I was 8 months pregnant, and my husband died of a heart attack. And so he died January 4th, 1990. My daughter was born February 21st, 1990. We were building a house. And one of the things that I remember clearly at that time is thinking, no one in meetings, I got clean when I was 31, so I was like 34 at the time. There wasn't a lot of, we lost members with overdoses, not nearly to the amount that we're losing now. But there weren't a lot of like widows and young widows and people that had lost husbands and wives. So I thought, so what my grief wants to do to me is isolate me to a lonely place, wants to tell me, just go to a room, just don't talk about it, just don't talk to anybody. Thank God I had this fellowship and the people around me, because that's what got me through. That's how I got through that loss. Because they would say, let's go to a meeting, you need a meeting, go to a meeting. And you know, and I thought, who can I possibly understand what it's like to lose a husband and deliver a baby in 6 weeks? And you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised as the years go on. And all I know is that I did it. Didn't want to do it, I did it. And I believe that's how I got clean through loss. Had all those feelings. I mean, it's like I look back on that time in my life and I even think, how did I do it? How did I get through that? And we were building a house. And so I had the loss of that dream of the family, of raising my child in the house. I had two dogs, both of which died with... 3 months later, one died. A month later, another died. Now, if you know me, I'm an animal person. So to lose a pet can be as much grief for me as, really, unfortunately saying that, is the No, the loss of my husband was definitely worse. But so it was just a lot of loss that particular year. And all I know is I just kept coming to meetings. I had my network, and like Pam talked about, the wider the base, the higher point of freedom. It is so true. And there's been times in my recovery that base has changed, that the people in that base are no longer around. So I have to reach out and maybe change that base to keep it wide, to keep it supported. And sometimes that's even hard. So I got through all that clean, and I'll never forget calling my doctor at the time, because somebody called my doctor. I didn't call my doctor. So I was pregnant. Somebody called my doctor and said, you know, her husband just died. And he called me and said, do you need anything? Like a sedative. I said, no, I'll get through this. There's never a reason for me yet. I mean, there's never been a reason in all these years. Not that I would not have loved to fix that pain. I'm not saying it felt good. I'm not saying it didn't cross my mind. And I wanted to fix it some way, somehow. I didn't care. I just didn't want to be inside my own skin. But a day at a time, a day at a time. And of course, husband can be replaced. And unfortunately, a child cannot. I can't help but go there, because that's just... And I remarried 3.5 years later. And that marriage didn't work. And that loss was as great of pain as the husband that passed away. Because I lost that dream of family. I brought my baby into it. There was a lot of that loss. And for my daughter, who's 31 today, we're going to get to that loss. I can look at her and still break down in tears for the loss of the father that she never had. That would pain me up like it is still today. All the times that she had to go to the father-daughter dance. You know, the times that, you know, girls would talk about their daddies and all that. It's just pain recreated. And it's just like, oh, again. And so grief is not anything that ever goes away completely. It's always been with me. It's not nearly as gut-wrenching, painful. But 31 years later, I can still look at her, look at my grandson, and feel it. So that marriage, the loss of all of that really hit me hard. That really hit me hard. And I will say, I hate the saying everything happens for a reason. Pain can be your biggest blessing. That situation that I got so much grief and pain out of, which turned to anger. See, my sadness and grief can sometimes go to anger. And I have to really be careful not to let that happen and to say, you know what, you're just really hurt or you're just really sad. Really put me at a whole nother level in my recovery. I did a different work during that time to get through the loss of that. And, you know, through the years, I've had other losses, losses of friends, losses of an expectation of something. I mean, it could be a lot of things. Right now, I'm dealing with the loss of my youth, which definitely a big loss for me. You know, I look around and I, in a sad way, look at the young girls having babies and families, and I'll never have a 40-year marriage. That really saddens me, because I really wanted that. Like some women really want children and can't have them and know they'll never have them. That's kind of how I look at a long-term relationship for me. I'll never have it. I'm 66 years old, and I'll never, I mean, maybe if I live to be 100-some years old, but, oh, dear Lord. So I kind of, at that time, I was a single parent. I accepted the fact that I wasn't going to try to make a family happen. I accepted that loss. I did my work around that. And again, that I'm so glad that I always had the network that I have, because it really helped me along. So my daughter went off to college and I remarried in 2008. Thought, okay, my time. I raised my daughter. She's gone off to college. And I remarried. And in 2016, and it wasn't a perfect marriage. Is there any perfect marriage? You know, I wonder about perfect marriages, but, and he wasn't in the program, because I thought, okay, I'm not going there. And then I wished I had gone there. Okay, you can flip-flop that all around, okay? It's like, oh, I'm not going to go anymore to the program, people. And then it's like, he's not in the program. Oh, he doesn't understand. And it's all that. So, he went in for knee surgery in 2016, March of 2016. Basic knee replacement that so many people have, and he died. So again, I'm left with another loss to stay clean through. And I will tell you, I just, you know, for a minute, my higher power is God, but I'll call it my higher power. I looked up and I said, like, okay, did I not walk through that the right way, that I would have to walk through it again? Seriously, I was questioning myself. Like, what do I have to do this time to do it differently? I don't know why this is my journey. I just don't know. I, again, will tell you that this fellowship was incredible. We were at the hospital for 3 days. Women brought a meeting into me. It was like 30 or 40 women in the chapel. I don't know. I think it was that many. And they carried me through. And you know, this is another thing, and this is, I don't know if it's my disease talking, human nature talking. It's hard, especially when I get time, I'd say when we get time, let me just keep it on myself, and I'm sure people with time can relate to this, that when you're really that sad and that down and out and feeling that vulnerable, sometimes it's hard to let people know. And I have to like talk to myself and say, it's okay. It's okay to go into a meeting and share my sadness, share my grief, share my disappointment, share my losses, because I can't do it alone. I need your help. And I believe that's really how I stay clean through loss. As I still continue to reach out. I didn't let my disease isolate me, because it wants to. It'll try at me any way that it can. And even more so, I reached out, I up my meetings whenever I go through stuff like that. And I don't want to do it. I want to sit home. I really don't want to do it. But I do it, and then I'm glad I did it. So this topic, dealing with loss and staying clean, and it's a just for today thing, just for today. I got to get through it, just for today, another day. And try not to feel like inadequate or not a good recovering person if you're feeling like that. That's not true. As we've gotten clean, I know I feel more deeply. I hurt more. I mean, I could go and use over this and maybe not feel it as much. But I won't do that. So, currently, and then this past year I've had losses. I've had losses of sponsees for different reasons. I felt judged. I just try to zip it up and not their opinions are none of my business. We just did the 10th tradition last night. So their opinions are none of my business. And then right now I'm dealing with the loss of my relationship with my daughter. Talk about painful. I am so pained up over that. And she, you know how family stuff, it has happened at Easter, and I'll admit, I was tired, it was late at night, I wanted everybody to go home, I had made dinner, cleaned, cooked, I was tired, zoned out, and then this little eruption started in my home. It didn't have anything to do with it, it wasn't even me, but as my daughter put it, I inserted myself into the situation where I did not belong. And, well, when it happens in my home, I feel like I belong in it. If you had it outside on the street, no, I don't belong in it, but it's in my home. I belong in it like everybody stop. When you slam my door so tight that it's jammed, I belong in it. So, but what happens to me, and, you know, my defects will rear their ugly heads. So my daughter came at me with a few things, like, you're never there for me. You never support me with my emotions. Maybe I don't. I don't know. My friends tell me, oh, my God, is she crazy? She's a very entitled child. She's very entitled. I spoiled her. You see the history, born into a situation with no father. So after she started attacking me, and I just gave her stuff and said, don't. She usually comes to my house to work every other week. It's a long story. I said, take your stuff. You're never to come back to my home. No, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that. And I might be suffering the consequences of my behavior. I'm not quite sure yet. But I have apologized. I have sent flowers. I've done everything I possibly can. I've made my amends. So she will not talk to me. So it's been months. And that's not my relationship with my daughter. We've always talked. She's always called me. And it's really, really hard. And so I'm praying about it. I'm giving it to God. I've done everything I possibly can do. My grandson, this is another irony for me with my losses. When my first husband died and my daughter was born, it was like he died and I had the birth of my child. So I had something like a gift. This husband died in 2016, and my grandson was born in 2016. And that was a gift, because I just adore him. And so it's the loss of some of that right now I'm dealing with. And so what will I do? I will do the same thing. I'll share it with you all that I'm going through some pain. I'll go to meetings, I pray, I meditate, I sponsor women, I talk to my sponsor once a week, and they're the things that I still do. I still work steps, because I'm too afraid not to. It's like Pam shared. I'm too afraid not to. I don't want to give up my seat. Been doing this, you know, a long time. And there's days, especially through the pandemic, through this past year. How about the loss of being able to go to meetings this past year? That was a loss for a lot of us. The hugs, the fellowshipping. Yeah, we had Zoom, but the fellowshipping before the meeting and after the meeting wasn't the same. So we had the loss of all that. So what did I do from my sponsor's suggestion? She was doing it, had a lot of her sponsees do it. We called three people a week that we wouldn't normally talk to. That was great. It was great. And it helped me get through it. So there's different types of losses that I've stayed clean through. There's disappointments in life. When I first got clean, I thought I was exempt from any of that. Like, I'm clean now. The world should just give me all the gifts and... Doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. And actually, for this addict, as bad as it, I'm not saying recovery is, because I never ever would want to go back to the using, but I've had more life clean now with feeling it more. And sometimes it's a little bit harder. I'd like to numb it sometimes, but I can't. I don't have that luxury. I don't have the luxury to go home and have a glass of wine. I call it a luxury for, you know, I have a client and they'd say, well, just go home and have a glass of wine and don't think about it. It's like, yeah, right. Yeah, I won't think about it. You won't see me and we won't be thinking about it for a long time. So that's my experience with loss. And one thing I know is that when I go through things, unfortunately, I'm able to help others through it. As long as I stay clean through it, as long as I don't use through it, I'm able to maybe help a woman or a man that comes into the rooms and they're going through some grief, some loss, whatever it is. And you know, loss brings up emotions, and emotions create feelings, right? And we have to go through it. No way around it, under it, on top of it. Got to go through it. So that's my experience with loss. I thank this committee for asking me to share my experience with it. And I hope you've gotten something out of what I've shared with you all. Thank you.
All right. Let's thank both the ladies again for sharing on such a sensitive and emotional topic.